Welcome to the Cartzaluni Daily Podcast. I'm Dave Bonna, co-editor of Cartzaluni, here with Beth Adams via Skype.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Beth. And we're talking today about another image post. This is by Marjolina Rathje, a frequent contributor to Cartzaluni. And the name of the image is Silent Messengers Writing on Stone 3. Now, this is part of a series of prints she's made, her Silent Messengers series. And I'll just read her description from the gallery on her website. She says, "Inspired by the ancient marks made by early humans and by nature's own mark making and shape making, I've combined traditional and digital printmaking techniques to embody a concept of time and continuity of humans and nature. It is a way of acknowledging a long thread of connections with the silent messages of those artists of long ago."
This is an interesting image. It's we see a rock wall with a kind of a dark opening into a, I don't know if it's just a shadow or an opening into a cave-like area. It's kind of a reddish ochre color to the stone. And on the stone, we see carved some pictographs of the kind of southwestern United States variety. There's a square with some lines coming out of it and something that looks somewhat like a boat or I don't know what that is. It looks like a boat to me, or maybe a fish.
Yeah.
And then below it, a series of 7 pictographs that on the left-hand side is clearly a human form. And then this human form seems to somewhat morph into something much more abstract, a square with 2 legs or something like that. It's very interesting, but I can't tell what that is. And then on either side of this, we have handprints that seems sooty, 2 on the left and 1 on the right.
Yeah, and this, I guess, should be said, she describes the method as archival inkjet and calligraph on paper, but the basic impressions of a photograph she's applied printmaking techniques to, I realize.
Yeah, she's very skillful with this, and it's hard to tell exactly what she's done and what was there originally. But I think the power of the image here, Dave, whenever I see rock art that includes handprints, this kind of immediacy occurs to me that is what Marjolina was talking about in her introduction. I definitely feel like putting my hand there or holding my hand up, and the millennia do disappear between the person who put their handprint on the wall and my own hand.
Yeah, the handprint goes back obviously to the very earliest human art that we know of. It has this appeal, I think, on the one hand, of being a totally individual signature, you know, subtle differences in size and shape between hands. You know, that's someone's hand put there as a very personal, perhaps a message to the gods, or simply a statement, I was here. But
right,
it's also universal.
And Dave, didn't you say earlier to me that it's thought by people who study this kind of art that handprints in some cultures were a petitionary prayer, actually?
The hand represented that prayer in a manner very analogous to writing something on a slip of paper and putting it between the cracks on the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. The objective counterpart of that prayer designed to give those words additional power.
Mm-hmm.
On their way to the spirit world. But that's a glib archaeologist's way of trying to make sense of these kinds of things.
Sure. But I think we can all agree that the handprint is, you know, in its most elemental form, it's a statement of I was here. I existed at this particular time. I remember making handprints in plaster when I was a little kid, and it was a way of preserving that little hand.
Right. I ran across a great quote from a blogger friend of ours this morning, actually past editor of Cartzaluni, Dale Favier.
Favier.
Yeah, from Moleblog. And he's talking about not having all his ducks in a row, as the expression goes. And he says, "It's a good thing not to have my ducks lined up sometimes, to watch them paddle away into new water, not to know what the hell I'm doing, nothing more poisonous than knowing what I'm doing. If I really knew what I was doing, it would be time to close up shop and go home. My shoulders drop and the heart space opens. I can breathe again. Spread my hands out and look at them, backs and fronts. For as long as I can remember, I've looked at my hands this way, puzzled, trying to understand what they mean. They're characters, glyphs, words clearly, chapter headings maybe. I return again and again to Chinese, maybe, in the hope of someday learning to read my hands.